And we're coming together into a passage just wrapping up the what we call the fifth chapter of Matthew. Of course, Jesus didn't know it as a fifth chapter of anything. It was just his instructions to those who wanted to follow him. But as we do so, we find that each of the points that he has made, beginning at verse 21 down to the end of the chapter, are places that he has taken the law of God and said, here's what God said, now here's where you ought to go with it. It's not that he contradicted what the Father said, but that he completed what the Father said. And when he did so, we all got to go, whoa! And quite honestly, if we can actually be honest with ourselves this morning, every one of us looks at the things that Jesus has addressed here and says, yes, but. How do I know that? Because I hear it all the time. Pastor, yes, but, what about? And so you go back to verse 21 to 22. But it says, be angry, don't be angry and use disparaging language. And we say, yes, but what if they're genuinely hurtful? What am I supposed to do? And don't commit adultery, verse 27, even internally. Yeah, but what if my needs aren't met? What if I'm not happy? Don't divorce, verses 29 and 30. But what if we can't stand each other? What if we become enemies in our own home? Don't fail to keep your word, verses 33 and 34. But what if somebody takes advantage of me? You want me to be a doormat? And don't seek revenge that we looked at last week. And we say, but wait a minute, what if they become entrenched against me? They're persecuting me. They're just after me personally. Jesus Christ knew how many times we would come up with excuses and exclusions. And being a good teacher and a good orator, he saved the best for last and the heaviest for last. That's in verses 43 to 48. Please follow along as I read it this morning. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Could you feel all of your excuses crumbling as I read that? I mean, doesn't this strike right at the base of all of our reasons why we can't do what we know God wants us to do? We're going to be looking at the same 3 points we've been looking at for the last, 5 weeks. Do you remember what they are? Number one, recognize the command of God. Number two, recognize the application of the King. And number three, evaluate the change that has to come in your life. So let's start off in verse 43 and look at the command of God. At the command of God, where he says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Or excuse me, wrong verse. Let's try verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now here's an interesting thing. If you've got a translation that does this, like King James and New King James and Scofield and some of those, you will see that you shall love your neighbor is in italics. That means that it's a quotation, a direct quotation of the Old Testament. But you notice the second part, and hate your enemy, is not in italics because that's nowhere in the Old Testament. So the first thing we've got to ask ourselves in the command of God is, what did God say? Okay, this is a very good thing to do, a very good discipline to do. What did God say? This is what has been kind of tough at different times in pastoral ministry, to talk with people and say, I know what your tradition has taught you, but what did God say? Now, I don't mean it like Satan did. Did God really say that? I don't mean to undermine God's word, but I do have a responsibility to always call people back to God's word. Let me give you an example. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, abstain from every appearance of evil. And we've been kind of taught in fundamental circles that that means that if anybody can make it look bad, you got to stay away from it. And if Mrs. Thundermuffin over there, the town gossip, can say something about it that make you look bad if you go there, you can't go there. Well, that's tradition. That's not what God said. The word appear, appearance is the word any place that it shows up. Any place that evil shows up, real evil, you are going to get out of that. Not if somebody can look at it and somehow put some kind of spin on it to make you look bad. Okay? It's very different. What did God say? And when you apply that, it comes out differently. Well, what did God say about loving your neighbor? They said, they got it right, they quoted it right, you should love your neighbor. But look at it in context, Leviticus 19:18, you shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. There's a lot of things we could note about this. We're going to come back to this verse later. But please note the major omission. They said, Jesus quoted the teachers and he said, you shall love your neighbor. They left off the words, as yourself. Doesn't seem very major, does it? But letting that off lets you off from being self-absorbed, from being self-focused. They were the center of their own universe. They were self-righteous. And a great commentator of 100 to 150 years ago, John Broadus, said this, in loving his friends, a man may, in a certain sense, be loving only himself, a kind of expanded selfishness. But when God said it, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, you put them in the place of you. You have that kind of compassion and concern for them that you're looking at it, you know, the golden rule, what you would have others do for you, what are you going to do? You do that, even if they don't do it for you, right? Get off of yourself. And that's my biggest problem today about, you know, psychological explanations of why we should obey the commands of God. They usually come back and say, because it'll make you happy. Because it'll give you peace. Because it'll make your life better. No, why should you do it? Because God said so. Let each man not look on only his own things, but on the things of others. Let each one esteem others more important than themselves. Those are New Testament principles based on the same basic command, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the question then becomes, what did God not say that was nevertheless being said by religious leaders? And I'll tell you, this is one of the great challenges of my life today. All kinds of things get thrown out there that God never said. God never told you to love yourself. That came straight out of psychology and secularism. That did not come from the Word of God. Okay? But here, what did God not say? Well, the latter part of verse 43. You shall hate your enemy. God never said that. Nowhere in the entire Old Testament. That had become a popular addition to the command of God that everybody looked at and said, oh, that makes sense. And in a sense, it does. The possible reasons for that is, number one, some people look at it and say, well, that's just a natural philosophical corollary of the law. Hey, love your neighbor, so hate your enemy. Doesn't that fit and kind of balances everything out?